We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Good evening, folks. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
Time, weather, and...
Veteran of three foreign wars, entrepreneur, and warrior poet, Tony Arterburn takes on the issues facing our country, civilization, and planet. This is the Arterburn Radio Transmission.
Transmitting worldwide from the Wise Wolf Gold and Silver.com studios, this is the Arterburn Radio Transmission. Parapolitics and precious metals, weapons grade truth. Broadcasting in defiance of globalist goblins, the neocons, and the New World Order. It is the 5th of September, 2022, and I have my good friend, researcher, one of the main contributors to Hidden History 3, Chris Graves, here to join me on this Monday transmission as we dissect and decode the dystopia together. I appreciate you being here, brother.
It's always an honor.
Always great to have you here. And of course, just off camera, just over here off the desk, I have Beans the Brave. She's here to keep the shop safe from woodland creatures, intruders, bad vibes, you name it. Beans is going to keep us safe for the next about 56 minutes. So, Chris, we went through about, I think you and I emailed between about 20 to 30 headlines today looking to try to find what we're going to talk. So you can talk about everything because everything's happening at once. I know I've covered that many, many times, but we've got a bit of news on the technocracy that's being planned, the economic control demolition. We can look at some overreach today. I mean, what's new? We can I got a story up about the CDC. I guess basically we're going back to where we were when we started, just be normal. And they don't want that to be a big headline, but they're quietly walking back a lot of things. We'll go over that today. I got a great story from the Babylon Bee, which pretty much sums up. Last week was crazy. You had Biden coming out, and like 3 or 4 days before his speech, where he's just highlighted in red and doing it reminds me of when in The Office, when Jim gets Dwight to do the Mussolini speech, you know, and they're like, no, you should pound your fist and you should really loud and you should be angry, not a joke teller. And he comes out, he's got the Marines behind him and he's all flanked in red. By the way, Republicans, you guys need to get together, have a meeting, and don't let them psyop you anymore. The reason that the media gave you guys red, because you used to be blue. I remember this. I grew up watching politics. I mean, I was watching, I tell this story all the time, but I remember in 1988, I was 8 years old, and I was watching Lloyd Benson and Dan Quayle, the vice presidential debate. That's how I watched politics since I was a little kid. And I just remember thinking, wow, you know,
That Dan Quayle, he can't spell anything.
was it potato that he couldn't spell or something?
Yeah, he chastised the kid too.
Well, it was Lloyd Benson that said, you know, he is actually friends with John F. Kennedy when he was a senator, you know, and Lloyd Benson was a senator from Texas running with, I guess he was with Dukakis at the time. It was the 88 campaign. And he said, you know, I know Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. You know, Jack Kennedy. The reason I bring that up is because I paid attention to politics, and right around the year 2000, they changed it because things were going so left in the Democratic Party. You know, I mean, Texas was blue when I was a kid, but that was like blue dog Democrats and just normal people. Right. And then they went straight Marxist, and they're going, you know, further and further and further left. So they switched that as a PSYOP. You guys can look at the historical record. I mean, it was blue, like the Republicans were blue because that was the color of the Union troops.
Right.
Right. That comes from like the party of Lincoln. Right. And it turned red. You know, it turned red because the media said so. And of course, when Biden's flanked in red, you know, everything is planned.
It's purple. It becomes purple, and purple has a lot of different meanings with this stuff.
Yeah. Violet. It becomes violet, right? Which is the color of they did that. What was that, like 4 years ago? And they had all the different key players and
Obama was the one. Right. Speaking, and right?
Purple. Yeah. That's the color of the royalty, the ruling class. Right.
And John Podesta, all that stuff. They had.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Well, anyway, you should take that. I was just thinking the other day, take that back, Republicans. Don't be red. You don't want to turn your state red because that would mean that it's communist. Red is the color of socialism and communism. You guys need to walk that back. The media did that to you. So you would, I don't know. I think everything has a meaning, like the color blue. The reason that Bill Cooper made his paper like with a blue background when he cut the newspaper Veritas, and you probably know this, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Was because blue is the color of truth.
That's right.
Right.
And he would point out, Mr. Cooper also pointed out the violet thing, too, especially. I always come back to it, but after Columbine, there was all kinds of violet balloons in the parking lot and everything, and he pointed that out, too. So that's not by mistake, you know.
You'll have to school me. You are literally a treasure trove of hidden pop culture conspiracy references that I could never begin to fathom. There's a lot of stuff, folks. There's a lot of stuff up in this brain of Chris Graves. That's why I have him on the show. I'm never disappointed. And we literally talk for about a minute before we go live, and I say, "Hey, I got some stories. I'm just going to bring some stuff up. Roll with me." And he's cool with that. So he's a pro. All right. So just, you know, and I was going to cover a little bit of Biden's speech today, but I talked about it on America Unplugged, and I just said, it's all planned, and they're going to create the division and, you know, labeling one side of the political opposition like terrorists and, you know,
MAGA and all democracy. That. Yeah.
I think one of the things, and I'll move on from here, but I think one of the things that I said about a threat to democracy, I like threats to democracy. I really enjoy them, actually, because we're not a democracy. Well, we're not a democracy.
No, we're not.
Democracies are tyranny. Karl Marx loved democracy. The ruling class bankers love democracy because democracy means mob rule.
Right.
Democracy means no checks and balances. Democracy means that you can persuade the mob, like you can get 51% of people to make the other 49% the enemy. Then that's the goal of the ruling class, divide and conquer. Democracy is I think really a fountain of evil. And again, you look at historical references. I mean, democracy killed Socrates.
That's right.
Democracy, they voted to crucify Christ. Pontius Pilate put it to a vote, right? And they said, "Let his blood be on us and our children." That's in the Bible. Yeah. So democracy in and of itself is not good. And I like threats to democracy. I always like this. I like to shock people with that because I like republics. I think there should be checks and balances. I don't think we should have a popular vote for president because I like the first six presidents of the United States. And we didn't have I like the seventh one, too. I love Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
But let's face it. The more voting, the less freedom. And that's what we've had in this country. The freedoms erode as more and more and more people vote. I wish it wasn't like that, but there's more and more influence from high finance. I mean, you look at the 17th Amendment that was introduced in 1913, Chris, and you know this very well. That was the year we got the income tax and the Federal Reserve. And that was the same year that they got the 17th Amendment is to ensure that there is a direct election of senators by the people of the state instead of the state legislature. So the state legislature used to recall people. If they weren't doing a good job, the state legislature would censure them and bring them back home.
Right.
It was a direct election from the legislature, and so the bankers got involved. That's why when you see somebody running for Senate, like John Cornyn in Texas, he's awful. He's a pathetic example of he's everything that's wrong with politics, right? But he wins. You can't get rid of him. Because he's of the bankers, for the bankers, by the
bankers.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, he's given that position.
That's why you need to restore. The founders were geniuses. They didn't have paper currency. There was no central bank.
We need to go back to paper ballots, too. That was one of the worst things ballots. That happened, was the electronic voting.
Yeah, so I just wanted to take that little excerpt from America Unplugged. And by the way, I mean, before we get to some headlines, you guys know that the White House created 10 billion new jobs, the White House press secretary.
I heard you say that on Saturday.
There's 10 billion new, it's 10,000 million jobs was the exact quote. And I think that's like 1.3 jobs for every person on planet Earth. So go get you one of those jobs today. That's almost as many people that voted for Joe Biden. So make sure you get out there and...
They found the $2.3 trillion from September 10, 2001. That's how they're going to pay these new jobs, these 10 billion jobs.
We couldn't track it, but now we found it.
Rumsfeld, there it was.
Beyond the grave.
Yeah, Rummy.
All right, let's jump into some headlines. And my friend Adan Salazar over at InfoWars wrote this little article. Good piece. Trump blasts the FBI for raiding son Barron's room. While ignoring high crimes and treason on the Hunter laptop, Trump rails against corrupt FBI and DOJ in a fiery Labor Day Truth Social post. Donald Trump chastised the FBI for unjustly searching his teen son's room during the raid on Mar-a-Lago. In a Truth Social post fired off on Labor Day, President Trump criticized the deep state for persecuting him and, well, possibly prosecuting him, saying that the person that should be raided should be President Joe Biden's son. Well, I won't read you all of Donald Trump's truth that he put out there.
Yeah.
But I don't disagree with him.
He's chastising his bosses, right?
Well, Trump came out last week and wanted the good people at the FBI, which I don't know, is like elusive as Bigfoot, I guess, but they wanted the good people to rise up. And I'm like, I don't think there's anybody in these institutions anymore that are anti-establishment. I think they love it. I think they love the ruling. They want one monoparty ruling monolithic thing coming down from the central government.
Make sure if you have a phone call with them, you tape it all.
Like, yeah.
1993.
You're so in. Yes, tape it all. Like the just like the 93 World Trade Center bomber. Yep. We need to do a show on that, by the way. That's such a good piece of history that, like, I bring up all the time that people
there's
need
a
to
lot of them. Look at. Yeah. That's one of them.
Yeah, folks.
Dan Rather.
It was on Dan Rather. We'll have to play the clip sometime. Yeah. And that just goes back to the informant on the 93 World Trade Center bombing. The FBI actually made a real bomb, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And they're making a real one and delivering. He's like, "They're going to use
it. I don't want to do this.
I don't want to do it." He recorded it.
He says it right on the phone.
Well, we'll get to that for sure. And then Trump's blasting the FBI. And so Trump rails against the corrupt FBI and DOJ in fiery Labor Day Truth Social post, but about the laptop, about Hunter's laptop.
Yeah.
Well, what's odd about this, Chris? I mean, I do have a memory that extends back into 2020. And if you recall, Rudolph Giuliani. Something about that
country Russia, I think, right? Well, something Mueller, maybe, Mr. 9/11?
Yes, but you know, it goes back to 2020, and you have Rudolph Giuliani had possession of said laptop.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't use it. Why didn't Trump use it? Well, they didn't use the laptop. Well, they had the laptop.
Rudy's taken photos with Ashley Babbitt's mother.
Again, this is the big question that I have is, and you go back to 2020, Trump's reelection campaign. And I said at the time, I said, I'm baffled why they don't use this. They had possession of it. The Trump campaign had the laptop. They did not use it, partly their reasoning was is that the media would not allow it. That's why Trump was saying that. You know, that we should have it immediately overturn the election of 2020 based off of the new revelations, I think, from the FBI and DOJ on the chain of custody in the laptop and all the rest. I don't know. They didn't use it.
I think it went away. It served its purpose for that moment, and it went away back into the Epstein-like vault for further blackmail possibilities. It's just my
always thought the laptop was actually for the Democrats to use against Joe Biden, because the Republicans will never use weapons. They'll never. Right. And it it should, you know, the grassroots Republicans are some really good people. Like, you know, they will believe in a country. A lot of them are, you know, conservative, John Birch Society people, you know, patriots, whatever you want to call them. They're good folks. Unfortunately, the leadership of the Republican Party is not about fighting. Democrat Party is. I mean, they'll take you down, man. And look at this administration. They'll use the DOJ, everybody. The reason that a Republican administration can't use those same things is because they won't do it.
Well, just remember the 1990s, how the Clintons had a stranglehold on not only the media, but the FBI. And that's how they were able to get away with all their crimes throughout the 90s, you know?
Absolutely. They had a stranglehold for sure. All right, moving on. This is just machine gunning headlines with Chris Graves, folks. Always fun. And we're broadcasting out on WWCR today. It's the Monday Friday show, Arterburn Radio transmission, 2 p.m. Central Time. I don't plug enough to let people know when 2 p.m. And I didn't do a show on Friday because Thursday, it was late Wednesday night. I got a call to fill in for the great David Knight, and I'm not going to miss that opportunity. But that's a 3-hour show.
You had everybody on. I was sitting there crying in my room. I'm like, oh, what about me? No, I'm just kidding. It was fun. It was fun.
I had Don Jeffries, Billy Ray Valentine. I had Kenzie. I had Gar Goldsmith, and yeah, it was fun. We just literally, somebody called us like the alternative media Voltron or something.
That's right.
It was fun. So, yeah, it was always an honor to fill in for David. So I didn't do a show on Friday. I just caught up on some work. A 3-hour show will take it out of you.
Yeah, you can imagine.
And, especially you're trying to fill in for it. Some shows are easier than others, but David Knight's is a hard show because you better bring your intellect. You better have something. People ought to learn something if you've hosted.
And a suit jacket, too. Yes. I like that. I like when you got that going, you know. I wish I had a suit jacket. I'd be wearing it right now. I got nervous.
Well, some of the suit jackets I have, I bought back in before I ran for Congress, and I only have like 3 of them. So when you come visit me in Branson, we'll get you into a suit. All right, let's jump in some headlines. Naturalnews.com. This caught my attention, and I think we've read a similar headline in the recent weeks. But after destroying American society, the CDC admits natural immunity works better than COVID jabs.
What a slap in the face to anybody who got hurt or died or lost a loved one. It's sickening.
No, these are the authorities, Chris. I mean, you can't argue with science. Science is just settled. There is no more research. It's just remember, there's only
trust the science.
Trust it. After 2.5 years of weaponizing public health messages and destroying the very fabric of society, the Centers for Disease Control has decided that natural immunity works better than COVID jabs. The CDC is now promoting an anti-vax message that they aggressively censors, disparage, and attack since 2000. The CDC updated their guidelines in August of 2022, asking for the vaccinated and the unvaccinated to be treated equally throughout society. Hey, folks, do you remember the weaponization of the philosophy of vaccines the last couple of years? Like, how you weren't allowed to be with family members or stay on your job or keep your profession,
funeral,
or go to a concert, or
go to funerals,
right? Because science, right? Science doesn't change. Because if you argue with that, you're anti-science. Science doesn't change, right, folks? It's just, once you got science, I mean, it's the same. It never you can never ask questions, right?
Well, my grandfather couldn't have a funeral, and he died from that.
So many people like that, Chris. I mean, so many people. And look at, again, what are they getting ready for? It's like they're scrubbing some things. They're making sure they're on the right side of things. This is just absolutely unbelievable.
It's a slap in the face.
Since the beginning since the beginning of the COVID-19 scandal, the CDC lied about the immune system, natural exposure, and available treatments while declaring the unvaxxed were public health threats. Well, hey, you remember Brandon, you know, Brandon in chief, Mr. Joe, he said that if you were basically a threat. I mean, what was his exact words? He had a really condescending, angry tone for those who would, you know, then you're murdering.
Then he tested positive 7 days in a row.
He's protected, Chris.
Go sniff some more hair.
Oh, yeah. You're so anti-science, Chris. The science is whatever they say it is, right?
Yeah. It's my
This just goes on to talk about, you know, the immune system, which is, you know, one of my friends, and it's up on my Facebook feed. And by the way, folks, I'm running stuff on my Facebook for a while, and I'm just going to let it tank. So if you guys want to friend me there, it's fine. You can find me at Tody Arnderburn. And
why do you I'll want it to tank, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I mean, I just had it for a while. And
oh, okay.
I mean, I'll just run the show on there until they get rid of me. You want to go find me on rockfin.com on the America Unplugged channel. I'm just promoting the shows using it. And and of course, anywhere podcasts are found for now, the Arnderburn radio transmission.
Yeah.
You can go find me over there. But one of my friends sent me a show that he and I had recorded back in like April of 2020. And I didn't realize it hadn't been out. Like, right? Yeah, it was right during this April 4th of 2020. My friend Wes Graves, and I went to school with him. Anyway, I kind of watched like the first 10 minutes to see what I was saying. And it was so, because I was saying pretty much the same thing. I mean, we've been through a lot in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But I was saying, like, this is so un-American. If we really cared about people, we'd unleash the American spirit. If you're in the middle of a pandemic, the first thing you'd want to do is get all hands on deck. And this was the time they, you know, that I think Trump had put the hospital ship Mercy was in the New York Harbor.
Yeah.
They had another hospital ship off the coast of California. They had Army hospitals in Seattle. Not one patient did they see, but we didn't know that then. I mean,
and they were using the footage from Italy as the New York City overcrowding hospital. CBS did it twice. It's called out on it.
Yeah. I mean, so not one patient, no overflow, nothing, right? This is the whole reason. And then so I was like, oh, well, I just knew that if you lock down and you put everybody and you bankrupt the economy and you screw up the supply chains, it's so hard to get that back. But bureaucrats and lawyers and people, not all lawyers, but, you know, people that work in that system of just getting paid to show up, like journalists to work for major networks, you usually just get paid because you exist. You don't really know about payroll or supply chain or, I mean, it's like that, that book I Pencil that David Knight talks about all the time, just all the components that go in to make a pencil, like how complicated it is. Government can't do that. Well, we've reached peak stupidity and peak government. So we have people saying, we'll just lock this down, which I think is on purpose. But I was arguing against doing everything that we did just based off the principle of it won't work. And you know, if you've got something, even if it's from a lab, even if it is really bad, you got to get people all hands on deck and help your fellow Americans. And
they lost their livelihoods. They lost their, but Walmart can stay open, right?
Right. Well, we can see now what this was all about is a controlled demolition of society. It was picking winners and losers. It was the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of mankind. They printed 80% of all the dollars ever made. This was not about
insider trading, too, in Congress, right?
Insider
before.
Trading. Yeah, it's just peak corruption, folks. And now the CD. So this is the reason I bring this kind of stuff up. And you go check out this article. Is because the narrative is about to change. So this is why the Arnderburn radio transmission, everything I do is about trends. I don't do shock jock stuff. I don't pick out things to make you go, oh, that's crazy. I don't do any of that stuff.
One thing I meant to say earlier, George Carlin was onto something when he made the joke that him and his brother would swim in raw sewage. They never got sick because their immune system was built up, you know, and when everyone was, you know, I'm guilty of this, putting the hand sanitizer on, I think that created more disease, you know, during the lockdowns and everything. They told us to wipe off our mail and everything and our groceries. Right.
Yeah, just absolutely insane. All right, let's look at, here's another, I don't know which one I want to do worse, but let's when we're on COVID, and these are the shows that'll get me banned on these technocratic platforms, but so be it. Like I said, follow me on rockfin.com/America Unplugged. That's where the show will wind up eventually. And I'm going to go to the chat here in a second, by the way, guys. So stand by. This is an article up on Zero Hedge and just makes me sad.
Yeah.
It's crushed scores and crushed skulls. Children pay grim lockdown price. It's the disturbing evidence against lockdowns piled up even higher this week with new studies on two continuous showings that children not only suffer significant learning loss, but sharply higher abuse at home, too.
Yeah.
First, French researchers found abusive head trauma among infants in the Paris metro area doubled during the second year of the pandemic, reports MedPage Today. Worse yet, mortality rates among those abused infants soared nearly tenfold, suggesting greater ferocity. Interestingly, these stats held steady through the first year of the pandemic and its associated government lockdowns, only to erupt in 2021. The researchers hypothesized that the pattern reflects an accumulation of psychological distress over time. Yeah. They attribute the distress to lockdown measures that deteriorated the psychological situation of adults, increased the periods where parents or guardians were at home for a prolonged time with their children, and reduced the intensity of prevention and early detection programs. They also have
when you lose your livelihood, you know, you get stressed out and you do things you wouldn't ordinarily do. And I think a lot of people, a lot of women, a lot of children probably had to pay the price for a lot of that. So
this is absolutely inexcusable. I mean, people, if it can just save one life, if we can just shut down the entire world economy, if it'll just save one life. And I remember thinking, you realize the people that are disseminating these orders also made nuclear weapons and napalm, right? I mean, you realize mustard that gas. Mustard gas and bio warfare, they're the ones that create the bioweapons in the first place, but they care about you, right?
It's a I always said, they're going to force these vaccines because they care about you. Then why isn't insulin free? And why isn't, you know, what was the other thing? Chemotherapy free. Yeah.
They care about it so much, you know. It's all about, if we can just save one person by destroying all society.
You're right.
Right. That's what that is. Yeah, that's exactly right. Economic loss and unemployment, mental disorders such as acute and post-traumatic stress disorders and depression or suicidal behaviors are known risk factors for child abuse and neglect as well. I want to read just a couple of stats from this. Reading scores saw their largest decrease in 30 years, while math scores had their first decrease in history of the testing regimen.
Wow.
Quote, I was taken aback by the scope of the magnitude of the decline, says Peggy G. Carr, commissioner of the National Center for Education Statistics. You were taken aback?
Yeah.
What did you expect to happen? You froze people in a modern open-air prison.
Yep.
And then told them that the boogeyman was out there. It's like the village from M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Those you do not speak of are at the grocery store, so don't go there.
Freddy Krueger's out there. You know, don't go out there.
Shut down happy public health officials and teachers unions tag team to pummel black and brown kids the hardest. White students' math scores dropped 5 percentage points, but black scores tumbled 13 points and Hispanics shed 8 points. Asian and Native American scores managed to hold steady. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But I wonder why that is. I wonder if it's because less public schooling or just.
Yeah, I was going to say they're homeschooled already. Yeah.
The children damned by overreaching public health officials may never reach their pre-pandemic potential. Student test scores, even starting in first, second, and third grade, are really quite predictive of their success later in school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this was the best part. Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, blames Trump for schools being closed during COVID and says schools reopening was the work of Democrats in spite of Republicans. You know, it was both of them.
Oh, yeah.
But the biggest cheerleaders for staying closed, I'm sorry, folks, it still is. I mean, the blue states are the ones that were like went kicking and screaming. They're still not open yet, and they still mask these kids. And
Massachusetts, I mean, where I'm sitting right now. No,
they don't give me that. I mean, Trump locked it down, right? And that's the thing, is that's where the left-right paradigm comes in, because I'm an old school paleocon libertarian guy. So you'd think that I would be like a, you know, jumping on the Trump bandwagon. But see, I just read too much. I know what he did.
Right.
I can't unknow what I know like that. And I know why a lot of broadcasters still know this, but they go with it because that's where the money is. I know that. But right. What I'm saying is he did it. So he's part of that. He is to blame. But the biggest, like, they loved it. And can you name one time in history where an opposing party to the president has agreed so over the top with that president's policy until now, until that lockdown? They loved it. It was great. And I'm like, that should be all you need to know. Like, your enemy wants you to do this thing that you're doing. You
know? Like, I know there's people that like Trump. I know there's people that are conservatives or Republicans or Democrats. To me, they're both the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Know? Well, I'm going to go to the chat here. We're at the halfway mark. We didn't even do a commercial because I don't have to because I got Chris.
And, Wise Wolf, gold and silver, second to none.
Thank you. WiseWolfGoldAndSilver.com. And Chris is in the Rockfin chat. Tom Cooper. Hey, Tom Cooper says he's going to vote for me in 2024. Tom, I'm going to get some shirts made. We'll have to do that. I got to pick my running mate. Can it be a fictional person?
What about John Jeffries?
Maybe a person from history. I want to run with Sam Houston.
Yeah, okay.
FreeThinker59 is in the chat as well. And appreciate all you guys. I saw Jason Barker down there somewhere. There we go. Yeah. So good to see all of you. And thanks for tuning in. Mondays, Fridays, 2 p.m. Central Time. Unless I just happen to fill in for David Knight the day before, and then it becomes harder to get the show out. Because a lot of what I'm thinking between those days, I put it out on his show. So it would have been, right. You know, I can always do one, but save the best for the next time. All right. Well, that's just more. We'll jump away from the scamdemic or COVID-1984, whatever you want to call it. It's not completely gone, but they're pivoting narratives.
It's always creeping around the corner, and then you got Fauci, you know, poking his head out, and now apparently he's going to go on to the next chapter, even though he's 90 years old. You know,
he's gonna go on to bigger and better things at somewhere at Big Pharma.
That's right. Yeah,
bigger and better things.
More kid books too. And
the revolving door.
Yeah.
All right. Chris had sent me this. Another sign of the times. Technocracy.news. Power company seizes control of thermostats in Colorado during heat wave. Technocracy News has warned about and posted dozens of stories since the inception of smart meter rollout and the resulting smart grid under the Obama administration. Many people laughed. 22,000 people in Colorado aren't laughing anymore as their utility company has hijacked their smart meters to control their thermostats. Control over energy is a key requirement for technocracy. Smart meters open the door to outside control of every major appliance in your home, including your air conditioner. This was always the stated goal of utility companies as they convinced homeowners to let them install smart meters to balance the load. They said it would let them produce the right amount of energy for the grid. What they really meant is it would balance the load on the back of the consumer. Now the consumer's worst nightmare is coming true. And this is around 22,000 households in Colorado lost the ability to control their thermostats after the power company seized control of them during a heat wave. As temperatures soared past 90 degrees, residents were left confused when they tried to adjust their air conditioning and found locked controls displaying a message that said, energy emergency. Well, folks, you got to see where this is going. Okay, so let me see if I can break this down in the simplest of terms, because we're so...
Those things are dangerous, too. They can, like, blow up, I heard, too.
Oh, the smart meters?
Smart meters, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... I don't have a smart meter. I don't have the grid.
You're a little off the land.
I am at my shop, but if I have to, I'll just go up and put a generator in here or something. Right. But I won't go without power. But this is, you go look at I think it was the prime minister of Italy, and then they had I think the same kind of spokesperson in Spain recently was saying, do you want air conditioning or do you want democracy? Because the democracy is their God. And they're talking about Russia because Russia and Europe, it's an energy crisis. And the reason it is because the West, NATO, and the rest are trying to get a war going. And they want to sanction Russia. But they know if they sanction Russia, it actually blows back and hurts us, which is their real target. So you got to understand the reason why this is not like any other time in history is because in no other time in history were they not trying to fix things. They're actually trying to remake the world through creative destruction. So what I mean by that is, think about the United States that we grew up in, or what we thought we grew up in. And I was part of the Reagan era, you know, growing up in the 80s as a young kid. And that was like, you know, it's morning in America. It's red, white, and blue. We're going to win the Cold War. It's Rocky IV, all that good
just
stuff.
Say right? No.
Just say no. Yeah. Just say no. Well, that was, we were going to build things and make things. And there was a can-do spirit, you know, even if we were losing manufacturing at the time. But there was still that America can come back and beat anything we need to do. And we're great. And we're going to rise up. You can't do that anymore because the multinational corporations that control so much of our infrastructure are actually doing this on purpose to remake the world. And they're in conjunction with the central banks around the world that are tied to one or three, what was it, three to four banking houses. I know this gets complicated, but literally the reason. So if there was an issue with the power grid in Texas, yes, why is that? Fix the power grid, but they can't. Because they're tied to the Department of Energy. They're tied to all these contracts and weird interlooping bureaucracies. They're strangling you.
50 years, right? It hasn't been upgraded. 50, 60 years.
We haven't upgraded any energy infrastructure. No, almost no highway infrastructure. Our airports are way outdated, but we spend trillions. See, this is a planned and a controlled demolition of society. I can't stress enough to you that this is the future if you're not paying attention. These things are, when you talk about why would my thermostat, why can't I just pay more? The reason is they don't want profit anymore. You get it? I mean, that's what ESG is, folks. I really need people to get this. It's environmental social governance, the largest capital in the world, starting with BlackRock and the central banks and the IMF. They're pushing a new agenda. It's the Great Reset agenda. Or 2030 or whatever. They're all the same.
They don't want you to own a car.
No one. And then what they'll do is they'll say you need to own an electric car, but they'll do the grid like they do California, and there's no power.
Right.
So really, they don't want you going anywhere. That's why Google has sidewalk labs, not highway labs. And anything smart, whether it's a smartphone or a smart bomb, is meant for dummies. It's meant to
not good
a society of dummies and slaves. I'm just saying, guys, you need to read technocracy.news. And this is just another example. And people are like, what? I'm not in control. No, you're not in control.
They also keep lighting the food supply thing on fire. You know, there's more fires last week.
Well, I had forgotten about that. We covered that on America. Oh, no, we covered that on David Knight's show on Thursday. I mean,
I think there were a few more since then.
I mean, this is folks, you can look it up. They're flying planes into food processing. There was two planes that crashed into two different food processing plants this year. And then like all the fires are just erupt. And
must have been Al-Qaeda or something, you know, they've been hiding out.
Must have been Al-Qaeda. Yeah, that's always the, you know, you don't, the deafening silence. I thought the terrorism, I thought we were, remember how just so much propaganda around that was the battle of civilizations and all this stuff. I'm like, you just.
Yeah, kind of like the invisible enemy that Trump started saying, you know, we have to fight like the war. Enemy.
That's
right. Same stuff.
Yeah, same stuff. It's like the war on terror is like a fly lands on your forehead. So you get a hatchet to make sure, take care of it. That's what the war on terror is.
Yeah.
All right, more headlines. This is fun. Always, I like going over the apocalypse with Chris. It's enlightening.
We're like the people on the Titanic. They were rocking out like with the instruments and everything. Everyone else is going nuts.
I don't care what anybody says. The Arterburn radio transmission can cover a ton of news stories in an hour. Like we just bust out some headlines. I don't even take commercial breaks. So please support our sponsors. I'll plug one more time when we get to the end of the show. WiseWolfGoldAndSilver.com. Summit.news. And these are not my favorite headlines. I'm just doing trends, folks. We're doing trends. This is worst is yet to come. Civil unrest set to surge worldwide as socioeconomic pressure builds, warns a report. Soaring food, energy, and shelter inflation have led to what could be a new era of civil unrest. Pockets of unrest have been observed in Sri Lanka, Peru, Kenya, Ecuador, Iran, and Europe. Now research forecasts a broader wave of discontent is just ahead. While this is the topic of developing social unrest is hardly new, we discussed it in the late 2020, why Albert Edwards is stating that to panic about soaring food prices, and Rabobank's Michael Every noted in April 2021, we are edging closer to a biblical commodity price increase scenario. Earlier this year, the Rockefeller Foundation President Rajiv warned that a massive immediate food crisis is nearing. The UN said this summer that the world is marching towards starvation with an increased likelihood of civil unrest and political violence. Making sense of the impending global turmoil is Verisk Maplecroft, a UK-based risk consultant and intelligence firm. They have just published an updated version of Civil Rest Index, CUI, covering 7 years of data showing that the last quarter saw the most countries ever since the index was created move higher in civil unrest risk. 100 of the 198 countries tracked by the firm saw increased risk of civil unrest, while only 42 experienced reduced risk. The impact is evident across the globe, with popular discontent over rising living costs on the street and on the streets of developing and emerging markets alike, stretching from EU to Sri Lanka, Peru to Kenya. Valence wrote that the report adding conditions are worsening as the frequency of protests and labor strikes could accelerate in the fall. Well, again, just an excerpt there. And the reason I brought that up is because I'm seeing more and more of these sophisticated intelligence consulting firms saying the exact same thing. Yeah. And I just want people to pay attention because we could
fix it. Do they know it, or is it because they have something to do with it? You know.
Well, that's an open question. But I think what I'm asking really is, our leaders know what to do to fix this. We could turn the engine back on. You get people back to work. You get entrepreneur capital in here. You make it easier for people to get things to market. They're not doing those things. Folks, I'll give you, Exhibit A. After they locked you down, after they did the biggest wealth transfer in the history of mankind from the middle class in the United States to the multinationals, you know what they're going to do? They're going to give you 87,000 IRS agents up your rear end. Okay, that's what they're going to do.
A lot of guns.
Right, and they're not going after the rich.
No.
The rich love the income tax. The rich love audits. So don't give me this crap. I mean, the left, I don't know why they're so – they don't know history. The income tax was brought to you in part by multinational financiers. They exempted themselves, and they put through the 16th Amendment. This is in the history books. You can go look at it. They wanted it. If the rich control this country, folks, will you ask yourself this question? If the rich and multinationals control this country, why do we have such stringent tax laws? Why wouldn't they rewrite them? Why wouldn't they hire? They could buy off Congress 10 times over. Could it be that they love it, that they need this, because this is part of the way to keep you down is the income tax? And the rich love the income tax. So why, progressives, are you supporting this? I do not understand it. I do not get it, because the rich never get taxed. It always just disseminates down to the middle. And whatever the competition is. So, again, they don't want to fix what's wrong. And that's why you got to take care of yourself. You got to prepare for the next level, because there's going to be you go back to Martin Armstrong's Socrates program, the AI that he was saying, you know, the West is going to try to trigger World War III to save the fiat dollar, to save the petrodollar and their fiat currency. So, Chris, any thoughts on this? Sorry, I was going off.
No, I was I don't want to say enjoying what you were saying, but I was intrigued by it. Like you said, they know how to fix these things. They're not. And why is that? And you know, I don't know, Tony.
Got you, brother. I know. I don't know either. I'm just telling you I know what they're not fixing. All right. We'll go a couple more ahead. We're just blowing through the headlines. Lots of fun. There was another summit.news article I was going to bring up. Oh, this was funny. This is a report that Biden has spent 40% of his presidency on vacation. He's been away 23 days in the past month. Well, there's old Joe.
Who's Bernie? Weekend of Bernies?
The New York Post noted last week that Joe Biden has spent a whopping 40% of his time as president on vacation. This past weekend, Biden again left the White House for vacation, meaning that during his past month, he's been on vacation for 23 days. Oh, and the RNC is up in arms about this. Joe Biden refuses to take questions after he leaves for another weekend vacation. Well,
but God forbid the John Q. Public can't even afford a 1 week vacation per year.
Can I say something on this though? Good. Can we get it to 100 days out of 100 days? I mean,
well, maybe then it'll keep them from like doing any more damage. You know,
I mean, just I have all of them take off. I mean, the thing is, government is in session. H.O. Mencken that elections are advanced auctions on stolen goods. But if you look at this, I don't want them there. I don't want presidents anymore. I'm tired of them. Like just have states, and I want to have local officials. Like just all these things that are they obviously just do damage to
system. One person should not have that much power, and we all know that they don't have that much power. They're just a puppet. But just the idea of it, like you're right, it should be each state is its own thing.
Yeah, and I would ask the Republicans too. Do you really want to win these midterms? Do you really want this? I mean, I would ask you that question because you won't have any power.
Yeah,
but you're going to get blamed for everything that happens. Why don't you sit this one out? Let it rotate one more time. I don't know. That's what I would do.
Are they real Republicans like back in the day?
No, I mean, no. But I'm just saying they'll just do what they've always done. And it'll be like going back to 2010 with John Boehner, and they'll be crying and he won and nothing happens.
Right.
But I remember all that. And it's funny because we have like memory loss because everybody thinks, oh, we'll just get the Republic one more time. I'm like, maybe you ought to sit this one out because the economy is going to implode. Maybe they'll just hand it and put it in your lap and you really don't have any power. So interesting. I don't know. I'm a political analyst as well as a conspiracy analyst. All right. We've got about 8 minutes or so. A little less. Let's see. What else do I have I had a bunch of stuff in the docket. Let's talk about some headlines that I saw on Gold Telegraph. There's a great Twitter. Besides at Wise Wolf Gold, there's a great Twitter called Gold Telegraph. And I have nothing to do with it, but it's smart. And they have some good headlines, and their tweets are interesting. One of their tweets was something I've been saying. I'm going to highlight this one. Is Jamie Dimon, who's the head of the largest bank in America, J.P. Morgan Chase. Jamie Dimon said something worse than a recession could be coming in the middle of August. Okay, now what he actually said was, that the U.S. and the world is going to experience an economic superstorm. It's a point that I've been bringing up for a while, folks, if you've been listening to my show.
Yep.
Because I've been saying, when has a banker that's ahead of a big bank, or any bank for that matter, actually said that you should be thinking of the worst case scenario? Like, that's never happened before. They're cheerleaders for the economy. They want stability. They want you psychologically believing that all of your deposits are always safe and everything's sunny and there is no storm. He actually used the word storm, economic superstorm. So what this tweet says is that China equals a property crisis. Europe equals an energy crisis. Banks are bracing for impact as companies begin to beg for support. And then it goes on to say 2022 has been something else. Yes, it has.
Yeah,
folks. And again, the reason I bring these things, this is the stuff that is in my wheelhouse, stuff that I pay attention to, because I can feel that we're about to go into a new system, or this is the old system is really being challenged. You've got the BRICS nations like Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa creating their own gold standard, their own currencies. That's what they're working on, breaking away from the West, the supremacy.
We've got to build back better, Tony.
Got to build back better, folks. Yeah. Well, in order to build something back better, as I've often said, you first have to destroy it. So just know that. Well, this is the competing system that's coming, and it's emerging out of this. And when you read reports like, I got an article up from Kitco. And let's see.
There's been a lot of reports that they're actually going to try to make a move in like December to finally just do the digital currency thing.
Right. And Biden has put out an executive decree telling every department in the executive branch to be ready to give a report on how they're going to promote the central bank digital currency. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard that. And I wondered if it tied into why we're going to have stormtroopers as IRS agents now.
Oh, see, you get it, right? You need an army to enforce your war.
Right.
Those are the shock troops, the ground troops. Let me just tell you where we're headed, folks.
No, we're good.
The central bank digital currency is the biggest poison that could ever befall any political system since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
And I need you to understand this. This is the game, set, match, satanic system you must resist. I think it's worth states breaking away over. I hope that they will nullify it. I hope that states will say, no, we're not doing this. We don't recognize this, because what it would allow to do is no more political opposition, because they can freeze your accounts. Look at what they did in Canada. They froze people's bank accounts en masse. They got into their crypto accounts if you were tied to an exchange. Full top-down totalitarian control.
With the truckers, right? Yeah.
Don't buy that, folks. Don't buy this crap coming out of Fox News and MSNBC and all these other puppets that are controlled by banking houses about how we need a digital currency to stay competitive. You need to ask yourself, what the hell does that even mean? Stay competitive with what? How to get rid of dissidents like the Chinese? The Chinese, they have a social credit score.
That's right.
The credit score will be tied to the central bank digital currency. It is.
If you say the wrong thing, you will not. You and your family will not eat for that whole week,
or ever,
or ever again. Yeah, the
currency can expire. Right. Everything is tracked on a massive government controlled blockchain system. I love Bitcoin. All right, I love cryptos. I like the decentralization. You need to ask yourself, why do governments have money? Like, why do they make money when we don't need them? Right. We don't need them. We do not need a government. The bank, private companies and other institutions can create a notes of value, like whether it's gold-backed paper or gold itself or silver or bimetallic or Bitcoin or any. Literally, it's an antiquated and outdated thing. As a matter of fact, the beginning of the United States was only Congress could coin money.
Yeah. Right?
Only Congress could coin money. And it had to be gold or silver. There is nothing in the Constitution. Get it out and read it. There is nothing in the Constitution about having paper currency or a central bank controlled by private people. That's unconstitutional. Yet we have it. And it wasn't
Federal Reserve. That's fine. More federal than Federal Express.
Just telling you the danger. The danger is not the other political party. The danger is both of them, because you're going to get the same results, right? It's just back and forth, slamming into each other, creating, we're less free.
Beach ball issues, you know, that don't really matter.
They don't matter. What matters, if we need both people, everybody needs to understand that the central bank digital currency, I totally believe this. I'm not being over the top. I mean, it is poison like we've never seen. It is cancer. And it's growing, and it's they're working on it. I said this a few years ago, and now we're closer than ever to this thing. And it is an absolute nightmare. And folks, you got to prepare for it. One of the ways you can prepare for it is by having physical gold and silver. This isn't a plug for me. I'm just giving you real advice. And
I was gonna say that was a really good lead into.
I know, but I'm not an over the top plug guy. You guys want to use me, fine. WiseWolfGoldAndSilver.com. You're probably gonna talk to Kinsey, who I think is working around the clock to do a hostile takeover of my business, and because she's just closing more deals than me now, I think, and we'll have to get. She's making me rethink how many deals I need to close a week to keep up with Kinsey. Anyway, no, she's doing a great job, and I love having her around. Really, really smart. She's got her show up on Rockfin, by the way, rockfin.com/America Unplugged. You can find Kinsey on
Friend Show. Yeah,
it's a very good show. Very smart show. All right, one last headline, and then we'll plug a little bit. Let's see if I can get the gold prices to work. And I don't know, for whatever reason, my ticker on my site has gone down the last couple of days.
Was there any updates that you noticed with the silver situation? That would that weirdness?
The 300 million ounces being taken out? No, it's just, silver keeps going down, and there's no silver. So it's the clown world economics at work. I'm gonna do one. This is a story I wanted to read last week, and I forgot. This is the Babylon Bee. We'll end with something funny. Joe Biden says you'll need F-15s to overthrow the government. But he says this to a nation that was temporarily overthrown by an unarmed guy in a buffalo hat. U.S. President Joe Biden recently allowed out of his basement to give the American people an important and timely message. They have no hope of overthrowing the government without any F-15s. The president insisted this despite that less than 2 years ago, by his own account, the government was in fact overthrown by some unarmed guy wearing a buffalo hat. Look, folks, you need F-15s to overthrow us. I mean, come on, seriously, man. We're the most powerful country in the world. You just can't stroll in and over here and take control of the Capitol building in an afternoon, said Joe Biden, completely unprompted. We're not kidding around here. You'll need an entire army to topple America.
Then he goes and writes the Patriot Act back in like the early 90s. Okay.
Oh, there you go again, Chris, with your facts and figures. Yeah.
Connecting the dots. So, you know.
Well, that's true. And then, I mean, I also thought for Joe Biden, what about the Viet Cong? And what about the Mujahideen or Taliban in Afghanistan? They didn't have F-15s. What about the fighters in Iraq that drove us out of different areas of the world? What about ISIS that we armed? I can go on and on and on. There's many, many instances around the world of asymmetrical warfare and guerrilla warfare toppling nations. I'm just saying it does happen, right? But that's
the most famous one.
Our Second Amendment's to protect us from tyranny. And then again, if you read it, you understand what it's about. And, he's trying to equate that with some sort of internal threat to the Republic. And he's an absolute, he's a tyrant for what he's doing.
Crypt keeper in chief.
There you go.
But actually the story of 300 is right there, 300 men against what, thousands. They had fighting spirit.
Now the Spartans. Right.
Spartans.
Alamo is Thermopylae. So it's the American Thermopylae was the Alamo, and then Thermopylae was the Spartans. Let's do gold and silver prices real quick. Goldprice.org. 1,710 Luciferian Bankster notes per troy ounce for the yellow metal. 1,710 on the gold price. That's for federal fiat dollars per troy ounce. And silver, $18.17. A ridiculous amount for stuff that you can't find. So this won't last forever. I would recommend looking into getting some precious metals to house value. Not saying that they're going to be the best investment of all time. I'm not even sure what an investment is anymore in this climate, but I do want to protect my wealth. I know that an ounce of gold buys almost the exact same that it did 100 years ago, and you match it to commodities, prices of food, land, oil, things like that. So just do your research, folks, and get to wisewolfgoldandsilver.com. Preparewithart.com and the good folks at My Patriot Supply. I buy these products. I recommend you do too, because peace of mind, I really start with there. If you've got a limited budget, get food and water filtration. Do that first before you even think about precious metals. Get that so you've got the peace of mind to know that if something happens, you're protected. You can not have to rely on the government, not have to rely on some kind of Mad Max apocalyptic dystopian fight in the Target parking lot to get the last can of Wolf Brand chili or something. Okay.
Black Friday.
All right, folks, we'll be back Friday. Thanks again to Chris.
Can I actually just say one thing?
Go ahead.
I just interviewed last night for my podcast, Get Mad with Chris Graves on O'Shelley.com. I'm actually really, really proud of this one because, I'm proud of all of them, but this one in particular, because I got to interview in my opinion, the real creator of the character Batman, Bill Finger, his granddaughter Athena Finger, and we go into his story about how he was kind of like forgotten and everything, and how now he's getting his due.
Where can people find it?
On Ocelli.com or Spreaker.com. I'm pretty proud of this one.
We'll send it. No, I'll put it in the show notes for today. All right. Yeah, okay. We'll do a 9/11 special this week too. You'll have me all alone on Friday. We'll talk September 11th. Just me here in studio.
Oh, and Paratruther.
And Paratruther. The Paratruther is coming out this week with Chris and I. We recorded it last week on Black Helicopters Over America. So we'll see you next time, folks. You have a great week. Take care of each other. End of transmission.
Life is a continuous confrontation with forks in the road. One is good, one is bad. And you could always wander completely off the road altogether and become lost. Totally and completely lost. If you take the wrong fork at one of these junctions, there is always the opportunity at the next fork to get back on track. But it is a constant battle within ourselves. You see, I have studied this concept for many, many years, and I have to tell you that if there is a real devil, like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Now, I'm not telling you that there's no such thing as Satan or Lucifer. I'm telling you this. If there really is a devil, that devil exists in the hearts and minds of men and nowhere else. Nowhere else. For if you take man out of the equation, evil ceases to exist. And there is left only the laws of the universe and the balance of nature. Put man in the equation, and before long, evil will rear its ugly head and present itself to the world. The evil is within man, and that is why it was called the fall. The devil never made anyone do it. If you do it, you did it yourself because you fell into temptation. For until man once again confronts the real nature of his own condition and of the world around him and accepts full responsibility for his actions without blaming anyone else or any devil, until then we will always be a puppet on the end of someone else's string. And ladies and gentlemen, when that someone pulls that string, we will dance.